Thank you for tuning in. We'll get to your program right after this short word from our sponsors.
Do you wake up feeling like your best days have passed you by? Omega-3s are essential to the health of your body and cells. Scientists say an imbalance in the omega-3-6 ratio is a major cause of many illnesses. You need testing to know how healthy your cells are. Without testing, you're only guessing. Test yourself at home and start feeling better today. Find out how by calling Rick Kroll at 305-933-4219. Welcome to the Home Business Success Show. Join us as we speak to home business entrepreneurs for tips, tricks, do's, and even don'ts for running a successful home business. Greetings and welcome to the Home Business Success Show. I'm your host, Hank Eater, but some people call me Hank the PR Guy. Folks who run home businesses have some great advantages over brick and mortar businesses, but they also face some unique challenges. Each week on the Home Business Success Show, we talk to home business entrepreneurs and we find out about the do's and don'ts, things that work, things that don't work, sometimes things that might be a great time or money drain. And we talk about home business. My guest today, Mehta Commerce, is a former professor of history and English, an award-winning author and healer. She is a word medicine woman in the Southern Appalachian story medicine tradition inherited from her grandmother. Her works include 5 books, essays, newspaper articles, a stage play, and more to come. A graduate of Goddard College in Vermont, Mehta is founder and CEO of Story Medicine Worldwide. A performing artist and vocalist, she is the mother of 3, grandmother of 3 grandsons, and has, since 2009, made Asheville her home. Welcome to the show, Mehta.
Thank you, Hank. It's good to be here.
Well, why don't we begin by telling us twofold. One, what you do, and basically, what is story medicine?
Well, what I do is front office, the back office, and everything in between as it relates to the business. But story medicine is the modality. It's the reason for the business. It's an ancient indigenous healing modality that all of our ancestors used. And by that, I'm talking about back before people kept written records of anything, and when everything was still in the oral tradition, and all knowledge, all tradition, all history, everything was taught by way of stories. And so that's what this modality is hinged upon.
Okay, when you say stories, I know that Indigenous peoples, especially way, way back in the day, used stories to explain a lot of things. There were their creation stories and ancestor stories and day-to-day life stories. Can you tell us a little bit more about the type of stories you're talking about?
Well, I'm referring to just that entire range of stories. Ways in which to teach children, ways in which to resolve conflict, ways in which to pass on culture, history, just stories is how they did all of that. And so what I'm teaching and using today is that tradition of going back to the story as an essential part of life, as an essential part of who we are as human beings.
And then I would suppose as an essential part of healing those parts of ourselves that need healing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you're taking me to the modality aspect what we're talking about, and when we use the word modality, is anything that causes you to feel. We have the feelings, we have the experiences, we have our own history many times that we've buried. We have not found language for it. We have not found a place to share it. We have not processed it. And so what we do in Story Medicine Worldwide is create those occasions, those experiences, those shared moments.
Okay.
Where we are able to bring those things.
And you do this, I've seen, through classes, through workshops, through lectures and other means, right?
Yes. Yes, we have talks, classes, workshops, as you said, on our schedule. And always Story Medicine is folded back in to the whatever the topic is. It's always by way of Story Medicine that we're working.
I've seen some very interesting topics on your site for some of your classes and workshops. For example, Who Taught You to Be a Woman?
Yes.
Is quite an interesting one. And I've seen workshops on racial healing.
Yes.
So I would think that racial healing goes beyond, at least this is in my mind, but I would think that it goes beyond just the way that ethnic groups are looking at each other, but healing for the whole human race. Am I right?
Well, first of all, I'm not, let me say it this way. I had a teacher that would give us ways to really examine ourselves. And this is really about the internal work that we each need doing. But he would say repeatedly, I'm not in the river is in me. I am not in the world is in me. And when it relates to race, I'm not in the conflict is in me.
So
when we have a racial healing class, it goes for 7 consecutive weeks, and we're deeply engaged in an exploration of our sense of racial identity, and actually looking at that in a way that is deep and close and empowering, so that we can begin to pull at it where it needs to be adjusted.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, this tradition was inherited from your grandmother. Does that play into how you got started in this field?
Actually, it doesn't. As it is typical in how I work, I will be busy doing something, and then suddenly it will dawn on me what is happening. You know, I'll be doing the work first and really getting good at it, or thinking that I'm getting good at it. And then it will dawn on me that there's one more thing, you know. And so as I really assimilate the learning from Womaning, which is my memoir, my latest book, which I will show right now since I'm here. Okay, Womaning. One of the main characters in my life and in my development is my grandmother. And actually, today is her birthday, so I'm going to give her props, big props. But one of the stories in this book, one of the most important stories in the book, is a recounting of a story that she told me over and over and over again. And I realized after the book was completed and published that she had actually gifted me this modality. Without saying it, just by doing it.
You know, this may seem a little silly, but I just got a flashback to when I was a little kid, and I lived in the Bronx when I was a little kid, and there was a silly little cartoon on that today probably wouldn't be politically correct, but it was very sweet. I mean, it wasn't what one would think it was, but it was called Pow Wow the Indian Boy. I don't know if you remember that from being a kid, but Pow Wow the Indian Boy, and it used to, there was a line in the song, and I always remember everything through music. And, you know, he would help all the animals and the people of the woods. But this one line in the song was, if Pow Wow couldn't help them, he would go to the medicine man, and he would tell them stories of how it all began.
Yeah.
And I used to think as a kid, okay, how is telling stories going to help everybody? But now I realize in the context of story medicine that these stories that they're talking about that would come from the tribal elders or would come from the shamans were the stories that bring people back to their roots and to the place from which they can heal themselves.
That's right. That's right. And remind them of the things that they need reminding in those moments. Yeah.
Okay, could you tell us a little bit more about how story medicine works?
Actually, I can't, because that's the one thing that I don't know. I have no idea how it works. But I can tell you, that it does work. I am proof, living proof, that it does work. If it wasn't for story medicine, I would not be here. And that is the truth.
Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe some anecdotal stories about experiences that maybe you've had or seen others have through story medicine.
Yes. Here's one that comes to mind, and it pretty much stays with me for these kinds of conversations. In the early days when we were still just doing women's groups, that's how we launched it here in Asheville, is just group long form group work. And so we had groups going for 6 months at a time, and then we would stop, go back to the drawing board, have the next group. So we did that for like the first 5 years. And it was one of these women's groups that was completing, and we were having a ceremony, which we always did when the groups completed. And in the ceremony, people would bring their loved ones, their parents, their best friends, whoever they wanted to come and witness them completing. And in so doing, they would always wind up sharing something that they had written during that 6 month period of time that they felt like would be useful to the community. So this one woman, she was a young woman early on in her life, and she just said to the whole community that she wanted to do this kind of work before she became a mother, so that she open up the way for some generational healing rather than pass on the same things that she had been born into. And her mother was in the room. And when she said that, her mother came up and the two of them embraced, and everybody in that room felt that. So this is the kind of thing that I'm talking about.
So in this sense, there was a greater channel of communication that was opened up between mother and daughter.
Absolutely.
As a result of her own story, coming to terms with her own story and then sharing it through her writing.
Right, right. So that when her child came along, that it would be not just mother-daughter, but it would be that child would have a different inheritance, a different sense of themselves.
Even though at some level they would share many of the same stories, being from the same family, But then as a life is lived, I suppose the story changes for that individual. Would you say that's a good way of looking at it?
I would say that it does, but it also, we don't stop to realize that we have authority over our stories. The whole word authority comes from the word author. That means that if, as I'm writing my story, I can use it like putty. I can stretch it. I can do many things with it, you know, and I'm authorized to do whatever I need to do with it to make it work in a healing, in an uplifting way for me. It's supposed to serve me as opposed to me serving it.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So your story belongs to you. I'm trying to relate this to what you said earlier about being the river and yes. Your story then belongs to you. But I would suppose at some level you also belong, maybe not to, but in your story.
Well, my story is mine, and it is not me. I am writing it. Have you ever seen the film Stranger Than Fiction?
I don't think so.
Okay, so I would ask that you see that film. Fiction is one thing that we use as needed in story medicine. Some of us have been traumatized to the place where we need to use fiction as a tool to help us find meaning and receive some of the things that maybe we didn't receive when we needed them. So there's tools such as fantasy, fiction, things of that nature, in terms of how we use the story to better serve our lives.
Right, and these things as tools, it seems to me that fiction as a whole is a tool that we use in society to tell stories and to have people relate to those stories through likable main characters that we could see ourselves in and the journey that these characters take. And then we put ourselves in their stories while we're reading that particular fiction. So I see how fiction can weave in and out of a person's personal story, especially yeah. as it's used for self-healing
yes.
and maybe greater understanding of the world and others.
That's right. That's right. As I understand others, I understand myself, you know, and my story always has a full cast of characters, you know, and I got to understand everybody in that story if I am to understand myself.
This calls to mind something I read about the Dalai Lama. Someone asked the Dalai Lama, how should I treat others? And the Dalai Lama said, there are no others.
Thank you.
Yes. While we've got a few moments, because this time just flies by, tell us a little more about your book, Womaning.
Okay, Womaning is my memoir. It's a collection of short stories that I wrote over a 20-year period of time, actually. And it's written in three parts, chronologically, girling, mothering, womaning. It's about an evolution, a journey of my soul and how I came to be who I am today. And
right.
the child that you see on the cover is me at the age of 16 months old.
I can I could still see some resemblance.
You can.
Yeah.
Okay.
I can.
Yeah.
Yeah. You look back at pictures, especially when I look at myself from those times, there was just such a wide-eyed innocence. Mm-hmm. And I think life is part of a process of trying to reclaim some of that, despite our experiences, or maybe because of our experiences.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Right. You've got some other books, like Blues Doula?
Yes, Blues Doula. I have two collections of poetry, Blues Doula and Rain Songs, poems of a woman's life. That was my very first collection of poems. And we're talking about the cast of characters. All of my loved ones show up in my collections of poetry. Okay. And then I also have one novel, and that's The Mending Time.
The Mending Time. And if you could tell us, because we're actually running short of time, but if you could tell us in like 25 words or less what that is about.
What, The Mending Time?
The Mending Time.
Yeah, it's my childhood fantasy. It's all the things that I needed and did not receive. And in the process of me receiving them, or the main character receiving them, everybody else in the story gets blessed.
How's that? Awesome.
Yeah.
Very awesome. Would you please tell our listeners how they can get in touch with you? Where can they find you to find out more about your books and your classes, your workshops, all of those good things?
Thank you so much, Hank. It's storymedicineworldwide.com.
And on there, they could find your email address and everything is all right there, right?
Email storymedicineworldwide@gmail.com.
storymedicineworldwide@gmail.com.
Yeah. Well,
thanks for being here with us today. And I want to tell our listeners, tune in every Thursday at 1 p.m. for the Home Business Success Show here on Biz Radio US. Before I go, I want to tell you that there are some great resources available for people who run home businesses, including the Home Business Success Community, an online membership support community of like-minded home business entrepreneurs. Contact me to find out more. Just go to Biz Radio US, click on Shows, and then click on the Home Business Success Show for contact information. Remember, you can achieve success, freedom, and independence in your own home business. I've done it, and you can do it too. We'll see you next week. This is Hank Eater wishing all of you a fabulous day of home business success.
Thank you for listening. If you liked what you just heard, be sure to subscribe to the podcast and be sure to visit bizradio.us to find hundreds of other engaging conversations, local events, and more.